Today we come to the final part of our series, Sermons on a Song, where we've explored themes from the verses to Be a Pilgrim, as they've directed us to God's Word. And if you were with us last week, you'll know that God led Laura and then myself to Psalm 23 as it underpins the hymn. So the first week we considered following, following after the one who leads us and provides for us. Follow the Master. And then last week in verse 2, we thought about how God is with us on our lifelong pilgrimage walk of faith. How where we encounter the good and the tough times, the valleys and the mountains and everything in between, and how he is our strength. And also how we, as God's family, we're called to walk together and support one another, becoming living examples of his strength embodied in one another. So the third verse. Since, Lord, thou dost defend us with thy spirit, we know we at the end shall life inherit. Then fancies flee away, I'll fear not what men say, I'll labour night and day to be a pilgrim. And that brings us to the closing verses of Psalm 23. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the journey of faith that we enter into when we enter into relationship with God is often described as a pilgrimage, and it's a path that is not always plain sailing. It has problems, it has challenges, it has moments of doubt and uncertainty. But they're all intermingled with the joys and laughter of good times. And then, I'd say, between that is just the ordinary, everyday bit of life. Just life happening around it, where there's not really much going on, but just life trundles on. But we also noted last week, you know, God is with us all the way through all those bits. And this third verse of the hymn picks up three themes that are echoed in Psalm 23. This sense of God's divine defence with us, the courage to stand firm in the faith despite opposition, and the assurance of the promise of eternal life. Now, I've whizzed through those, so don't panic, I'm going to unpack them, so don't worry. So, first one, shield. God's divine defence. Perhaps a different way to put this might be to talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit with us on our journey. You see, because the greatest assurance we have for us as believers is that we don't do it alone. We don't do life alone. The ordinary, the joys, the challenges. We can hold on to the promise that was made to us that we would have the Holy Spirit with us as a comforter, as a defender, and as a guide. That's what Jesus told us, and it's recorded in John chapter 14. He, that is God the Father, will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And then a few verses later, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Holy Spirit will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So we see in Psalm 23 that it speaks of the truth that God is with us. As we follow after him, we are led to places of blessing. We are comforted in the dark times of life. And as verse 5 says, even when we feel surrounded by enemies, God still provides. He anoints and blesses us. We might, however, as we journey with God, we might long that our path with him would be easy. But we know that the path of the pilgrim, the God follower, is not always easy. Opposition. Temptation, suffering. And yet, faith means trusting that God's Spirit will sustain us in every trial, whether that's our personal, whatever we're going through personally, whether it's something that affects us all as a family of God here, or something that's a bigger, much bigger, you know, impacting the world and our way of living. We can have the confidence of knowing that God's Spirit sustains us. Just as David, the author of Psalm 23, knew that when his life was in danger and he went through so many trials that are recorded, there were people who around him who were planning his demise. And even when he was surrounded, he trusted in God's provision And so too can we. The thing is, God is always in our midst. We're assured that God is with us, and he's always here, but we are so often unaware of his presence. I think we can, I suppose, tune out. We can be distracted by life. Even the ordinariness of life, it can just tick on, and we don't really kind of always tune into God's presence. C.S. Lewis once wrote this: "We may ignore, but we can nowhere evade the presence of God. The world is crowded with him. He walks everywhere incognito. The incognito is not always hard to penetrate. The real labour is to remember, to attend, in fact, to come awake. Still more, to remain awake." I think we need to be awakened to God's presence. We need to be committed to cultivating an awareness of his presence with us. I mean, I know I've said it before, but as I've been preparing for my pilgrimage, I was talking to a chap called Paul who runs something called Pilgrim Pathways, and he's been really helpful. And he was saying about the idea of that my pilgrimage would be a thin place. So I don't know if you've sort of in a Celtic theology, there's a sort of idea that there are places and spaces which are thin to the presence of God. And I immediately responded, but, you know, as I think I've shared before, I think it's just that we're thick. I think, too, when we go to those places, we go with an expectation of meeting with God. Whereas, actually, if we acknowledge that God is with us all the time, we are generally thick to his presence. I'm not saying we're all stupid. I'm just saying we just don't make ourselves thin. Because wherever we are, if we acknowledge that God is with us, then God is with us everywhere. So we need to cultivate that kind of attentiveness to God with us in all places. And that comes from kind of what Laura spoke about, the sense of following after the shepherd and knowing his voice. We will only truly know him, we'll only kind of really sense him if we take that time to recognize, you know, his voice, to recognize his presence. And so that his ways, his comfort, his love, his guidance become clear in a world that is just full of conflicting voices. Are we awake to God's sustaining presence? We know from Scripture that God meets people in ordinary places. Moses met him at work, albeit in a desert. But he was at work, and he met him in the desert. He was attentive to this unusual circumstance at work. I mean, obviously, if I was at work and I found a burning bush here, I'd put it out, I think. I don't know. There's no bushes around here. But do you know what I mean? You'd go and find out what was going on, but it was in his ordinary place. We had Jesus meet the woman at the well, who was going about her ordinary everyday work, and there she was collecting water, and she encounters God. Peter met Jesus on the beach. I'm not suggesting he was on holiday, but it's still eminently possible for us to meet God on holiday. Are we alert to those things that are of God in our ordinary everyday? Jacob, in Genesis, raises a question. He was on a journey and he took the opportunity to rest and encounter God in a dream. And when he awoke, in Genesis 28:16, this is what he thought: "Surely the Lord is in this place and I was not aware of it." Do we need to be more aware of God's presence with us? Steve, are you there for a minute? Can you hit the mute? I need to cough. Except I wasn't quick enough. Hopefully that'll go away. There we go. It's hopefully. Anyway, we've got to be honest though. It's not always easy. It's not easy when life is ordinary, and it can be downright difficult when we are going through tough stuff. But even if it's really hard, we can feel at times that we want to give up and walk away. We know that God calls us to stand firm, to hold our ground, to hold our nerve. I think we know that many in this world, and that it does include us, can feel consumed by fear of failure, of rejection, of uncertainty, of our state of our lives, our personal futures. The state of the world. I had a conversation this week when I was having my hair cut about that, and my hairdresser was saying how uncomfortable she feels, you know, in kind of the state of the world. There's a sort of apprehension around. This world can feel like a really unstable place. And there are occasions when our fears can feel absolutely overwhelming, when perhaps we are challenged about our faith, and or we can have our confidence shaken by something that unexpected happens. But we know that Christ is our foundation. He is our solid rock. And even when we're, you know, we know we're in the world when, as I say, we're full of distractions and voices and circumstances that might seek to pull us away from following God. Things that the hymn calls fancies, meaning that the things that pull us away from our true purpose are not the cakes made by a certain Mr. Kipling. See, because distractions come in many forms, don't they? There might be things that we've always wanted to do, our material, things that we want to have, to own, the pressure to conform, the pressure to succeed. But our focus in all of this has to be Christ. We're not to be distracted by the things that are temporary or things that promise much but deliver little. And we're to stand firm in the face of ridicule or persecution, which we've always already referenced with churches around the world that face persecution on a daily basis. We are in a blessed position at this time that we don't face that for at the moment. But verse 5 of Psalm 23 tells us that God prepares a feast in the presence of our enemies. And note that this is a feast, not when our enemies have left and gone home, where they've been vanquished and removed, but while they are still there. And if I'm honest, I looked at that this week and I thought, I don't know how comfortable I feel with that. Would I really be okay with sitting down at a table and eating a meal, a feast? So not just a quick snack, nope. Fancy, you know, no quick fancy, you know, sort of Mr. Kipling's fancy in a cup of tea, but a table laden with food. This is a feast that will take time to eat. But to do that in the presence of people who wish me ill, that's a bit of an unusual picture, isn't it? Because the norm is, if you have a feast, you call your friends round. You invite the people you love, the people you get on with. And you take time and you relax and you eat and you talk and you chat and you laugh. You enjoy their company. But here God flips the image on its head and says, we can have his peace and boldness. We can sit at this table and enjoy ourselves and relax, even in the face of opposition, because of him with us. The true pilgrim can trust in God. Which leads us to our reward in heaven. We can trust because we know we at the end shall life inherit. So says verse 3 of the hymn. And echoed in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is our hope. That's a good thing, right? This is our hope. This is where we're going to end up. We're not wandering aimlessly through life, but we are heading towards an assured heavenly home. Everything now is temporary, but the life we shall receive is eternal. As Paul puts it in Romans 8, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Of this we can be certain. This is why we pursue our walk of faith, encountering all that we do with God by our side. Now, we may not always see too far ahead, but we can take each step with the confidence that God is guiding and leading us. And that brought me back to the illustration that Laura did last week of trusting, where she led a blindfolded Heather across some chairs. If you were here, you had to see it. I can't really explain it otherwise. But Heather trusted and walked across the chairs, even though she didn't know that some of them were going to be there. And that led me to thinking about a reflection that I wrote a while back. I was going through a really tough time in life, and this is what I wrote. Apologies, this coffee's driving me mad, but never mind. Obscured is what it's called. I stood and looked for a way ahead on the journey of my life, and I could not see the path, for the fog had closed in deep. I stood quite still and held my breath. I could not venture forth. Fear of the unknown route in front held me still within the gloom. I turned and looked for the way I'd come, but that too had vanished and gone. The path I'd walked was obscured by mist. The route I'd taken disappeared. I did not know which way to go. I looked left and right, but all was grey. In confusion, I looked down and I could see the rock beneath my feet. "See here," the voice whispered deep within. "The rock beneath is firm. You can see just far enough to take a single step. For with each step, the travelling begins and the journey is revealed. Just trust the way that you can see and move on in faith and hope." "But I'm frightened and afraid," I said. "How can I walk on alone?" And straight away the voice replied, "You won't. I'll walk with you." So tentatively I put out my foot and took a step on the rock in front. I moved forward just one pace and stood again in the dark, quite still. "Walk on," the voice said in my heart. "Keep moving, don't stand still. For although to you the way is unclear, I know the way you should go. Trust me to lead you onwards. Though the weather may close in more, hold on to me as you walk my way, and I'll take you to where you should go." So slowly, step by single step, I began to walk, and my feet stayed firm on the rock beneath. And as I journeyed onwards into the unknown, and though the way ahead was still obscured and the fog stayed thick and close, I trusted in the one with me and walked on in faith with him. We know there will be days when the path is difficult, but we are to press on, knowing that every step in faith takes us closer to our eternal home. And we can trust that God is with us by his Spirit, and we need not fear, even if we can only take one step at a time. And we need to stay strong in the faith because of the assurances given to us in Scripture that declare the promise of our future. And we know that this truth, this eternal life, shapes our future. And so it should shape our living. So where does that leave us as pilgrims on the journey of faith? We are to look to God and his strength, seeking his face always. We know we are to walk in faith and not fear. We're to reject distractions and stay focused. We are to press onwards towards the goal, and we are to keep going, because following Christ is not easy, but it is always worth it. We are to persevere so that when we have done the will of God, we will receive what he's promised. Those are thoughts drawn from those verses. I've popped them up because I've kind of paraphrased them. If you want to make a note of them, that's where those thoughts come from. This is our great hope. It's why we endure, that our future is secure. All that we endure in life pales in comparison to the joy that ultimately awaits us. Sisters and brothers, we are on a journey, but we walk it together with the Spirit going before us, Christ beside us, and the Father awaits us. So let us labour night and day to be true pilgrims, faithful, fearless, and ever moving forward towards all that God has for us. Thank you. We walk by faith and not by sight. But the song also talks about knowing that in Christ all things are possible to those who call upon his name. And during this past week, this place has been a space where folk have been able to come to God in prayer. In different ways, yes, but a shared experience of seeking after God's heart and his purposes. So as I mentioned earlier in the notices, my whole intent was for that week to come to a conclusion in this today and make sure that we pray together as a family. I understand people have had commitments because it's being half term and you've been busy with other stuff and work, but we're going to gather today and we're going to pray. Now, we're going to have about 5 to 7 minutes or so. I would suggest you choose perhaps one prayer station. Don't try and get round them all. If you've been here this week, maybe it might be you go back to one that struck you this week, or you might want to go to a different one, or perhaps it's something that's caught your eye this morning. And just take a moment to reflect on what you find there. Now, I'm going to encourage us to do this in an attitude of quiet respect. I don't want this to be an opportunity for a chat and a catch-up. You feel free to do that when we finish the service in a few minutes. Now we're going to just spend a time sort of prayerfully considering the different places and spaces. If you'd prefer to stay where you are, that's fine. There will be some prayer prompts on the screen that were sent out, that were available last week as a little prayer card prompt. Or just simply sit in the space and ask God what it is that he wants to speak to you about today. I'm going to play a short piece of music while we engage in prayer. And when this concludes, I'd invite you to come back to your seats and then I will gather us together with a prayer from the front. And then I'll hand back to Ali to draw our service together. So just a few minutes, just to be in an attitude of prayer and reflect on what this space has been for people this week and what it is to you today.